Book of Revelation, chapter 7. Revelation, chapter 7. In our last study of Revelation, we watched as the sixth seal of the scroll was broken by Christ. We saw that these events seemed to have taken place shortly after the events of the fifth seal happened, as John was not summoned to coming forth. As he had been on other occasions. With the opening of the sixth seal, we saw the first of three major earthquakes that are seen in the book of Revelation. This quake would be so powerful that everything living on the planet would be affected in some way or another. There was no escape. We saw that this event made all men equal. There were no longer cultural boundaries, financial boundaries, financial affluence or positions, racial divisions. Everything was equal. Even positions didn't keep you safe anymore. All those who are now alive had one thing in common. They were afraid, very afraid, and they blamed whoever they called God for the reason of for their despair. Tonight, we're going to see what else came from the opening of the sixth seal. So let's look at Revelation chapter 7 and verse 1. Now remember, this is still part of the sixth seal. Just because we're moving on to chapter 7 does not mean anything. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, restraining the four winds of the earth, so that no wind could blow on the earth or the sea or any tree. Then I saw another angel rise up from the east, who had a seal of the living God. He cried out with a loud voice to the four angels who were empowered to harm the earth and the sea. Don't harm the earth, the sea, don't harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we seal the slaves of our God on their on their foreheads. And I heard a number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 sealed from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, and 12,000 sealed from the tribe of Benjamin. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins, praying that you would just calm our hearts. Help us, Lord, to just be still and to listen. Help us to be faithful to your word, knowing that you told us at the very beginning of this, it's wise to consider the book of Revelation, to study the book of Revelation. Lord, be with us right now as we go through this time of study. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. I looked back as I started this sermon this week, and we've been in Revelation for about 6 months. Now, I really wish that I would have kept up with world events and tried to just, you know, write stuff down as they were happening as we started going through the book of Revelation, because as I told you when I started preaching through the book of Daniel, I as a pastor stayed away from Daniel. And I stayed away from Revelation. Why? Because they're tough books. They're very tough books. There's a lot of controversy surrounding these books. But church, I'm going to tell you, I cannot believe how things are unfolding around us in the world today. Not only in our city. I hadn't watched the news today, but are we at day one with no murders? Or did we have some last night? We had a shooting today, so we're back at day zero. Not only are we in turmoil in our city, in our state, our nation, but the world is just, the world's on fire. And listen, we need answers. We need to be able to give answers. Do you hear me? I don't know if, and I'd encourage you, go and I go to multiple news sites a day, and I really trim back because I don't, it's really getting to the point where it's hard to read some of these news articles. But I skim over them and I go and read the comments. Church, these people are oblivious to what's coming. The people in America are absolutely oblivious. And I'm not talking about liberals and conservatives. I'm talking both sides of the aisle. They're absolutely oblivious as to what is coming. We can't stop this. We can't. You think it's bad now. Listen, it's going to get worse. That's why I have been just begging y'all to sound the alarm. Y'all need to get on these news sites. You need to sound the... I don't need to be the only person. I see some Christians who make Christian comments, but they're getting laughed at. Yeah, you and your God, what's he done? Well, that is scriptural. That is prophetical. A time is coming when the world is going to say, where is the coming of your Christ? Listen, we need to be sounding the alarm saying, listen, you need to read Revelation chapter 6 because it's going to get worse. You can see what's taking place in the day that we're now living, right now, unfolding and heading towards Revelation 6 and 7. Can y'all see that? Have you seen it? Have you been seeing it? Have you been as shocked as I am? I am. I'm just amazed. Well, as we get into this, let me also tell you this. When I read through Revelation 7, and I don't read ahead, I try and stay current, I couldn't get a grasp of this. Amy called and she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm studying Revelation. She said, well, you're normally already in your Sunday morning message. I said, yeah, I know. I said, I'm kind of stuck. And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, at first as I read through this, Brother Frank, I was like, how in the world am I going to get enough information to preach a 30-minute or 45-minute message? I said, now I don't know how in the world I'm going to consolidate it. I've gotten way too much information. So what we just read, it would be easy for me to try and preach over your head, and that's not what I want to do. I want you to understand it. So it's going to get a little technical tonight. Just hold on. Bear with me, because there's a silver lining at the end, okay? Amen? Y'all with me? All right, good. Now, the first thing I want us to look at is chapter 7, 1 through 8, is dealing with a very unique group of individuals. They are the sealed Jews. The sealed Jews. Now, the first thing I want to look at as we consider the sealed Jews is the angels in Revelation chapter 7. Now, how many groups did we see? We saw two different groups. We saw a group of four, and then we saw a single angel by himself, right? Did y'all see that? All right. The first of the angels are seen in verse 1. In verse 1, we see four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. Now, this verse has caused a stir throughout history because of the four corners reference. As we're all aware, man once thought that the earth was what? Flat. That's exactly right. And now that we know that the earth is round, unbelievers have taken this opportunity to use this verse to prove to themselves that Scripture is not reliable. The truth is, the angels stood where they were told to stand, and John worded their standing in a way that he saw and that the readers could relate. That's the truth. Again, I could, and I know Tony could, and John could, and Brother Frank could. We could take these same verses, chapter 7, verse 1 through 8, and we could preach it in such a way to try to put you to sleep within 5 minutes of the sermon's opening comments. Some of you are going to go to sleep anyway. I mean, we could make it that complex, couldn't we, Tony? I mean, it's and go deep into deep detail. That's not what I want to do, and that's not what John intended to do when he wrote that the angel stood on the four corners. In my eyes, and listen, I will have eyes to see this, and if you're a true believer, you'll see this as well. We'll stand in heaven and watch these events unfold on the other side of the rapture. Praise God. The way I envision is John's overlooking the threshold of heaven, and he is seeing the earth, and the angels are standing on the four corners of the equator. Now, I don't know whether it's north, south, east, west. I don't know if it's the middle part. But all I know is they are totally surrounding the earth. And they are complete control of everything that is natural from a natural or a nature perspective on the earth. Man is not in charge. God is in charge. And his angels are standing guard to let the world know that they are in charge. He is in charge. So, what was the task of these first angels, the four angels? Verse 1 tells us that the job of these angels at this time was to restrain any wind from blowing on the earth. Warren Wiersbe says, angels are associated with forces of nature. The wind, fire, water. Stopping the wind implies a lull or calm before the storm. What are you talking about, Brother Kyle? God controls all nature. During the day of His wrath, He will use the forces of nature to judge mankind. You may be asking, what storm is coming? What we have seen so far is with the breaking of the six seals cannot hold into comparison as to what is coming next. I mean, it's been bad reading through the first breaking of the seals, hasn't it? Is there anybody who thinks they can live through this? Anybody want to try? No. But what we're seeing is a lull before the storm. Best way I can explain this, guys, youth, when we were little, we used to have reel-to-reel projectors. Y'all know what that is? Older groups, Karen's back there, I know you know. But we'd go into a classroom, and if the teacher wasn't there, she would have a reel-to-reel projector, and we'd get to watch a movie. And I remember some of those movies were good. Some of them were just horrendous. I mean, we had to have, like, nuclear drill tests. What do you do when a tornado comes? Well, you go in the hallway and you duck your head, or you get in the bathtub. I mean, because your parents wouldn't tell you this at home. And a nuclear, do y'all remember that? They actually told us what to do if you're going to die. I mean, if you've never kissed a girl, I would encourage you at this point in time when they say nuclear bombs are heading towards Georgia, go find a girl. Now, be nice, be gentle, but, you know, plant one right on her lips because it's over. What are you talking about, reel to reel and all this stuff? Listen, one of the reel to reels, do y'all remember the hurricane movie? They would tell you when a hurricane is coming, they told you, you know, different hurricanes had different force winds, and as it was coming towards your area, it would blow and blow and blow and blow, and it would, you know, it'd be terrible rain and wind, but then something would happen. What would happen? The eye would come over. And what happens when the eye comes over? Calm. Do you remember what the movie would tell us? Don't go outside. Y'all remember? Because it'll look like the storm is over and you can go outside and skip through the daisies and pick up all the debris off of the ground. Y'all remember that? They said, don't go outside because the backside of the storm, when it hits, it's going to, you don't need to be outside. This is what is taking place tonight here. There's a lull. All this devastation that we've seen taking place up to when the earthquake took place, there's a lull. There's a lull. Only on this day, the inhabitants of the earth will feel as if all their troubles are over. And the destruction is complete for a time until the trumpet judgments arrive. Brother Kyle, what is it that you want me to get here? What is it that you want? Once the rapture takes place, unrelentless wrath of God plus the devastation from the Antichrist coming together is going to present the unbelievable, I mean, it's not even just saying this, the perfect storm. It's relentless. There's going to be no eye, but there's going to be a lull. And in this lull, this period of time, people are going, oh, hey, we've got it under control now. Somebody tell me what time it is. What time is it? 6:30? Well, look, I'm going to go ahead and tell you. When we get done, about the time we get done, if y'all make it home in time, Our president's going to get on the TV and he's going to tell you, he's going to try and give you a lull. He's going to address the nation about what he wants to do with these terror attacks. 7:45. Listen to me. I don't know what you're going to do. I really don't. But the clock has already been wound. Any of y'all still have one of those old clocks you have to wind? I do. It's wound. And the only way that you can stop the springs from uncoiling is to stop the pendulum. The pendulum has been set in place, and it's not going to go backwards. Brother Kyle, you're trying to scare us. I really hope that, I mean, if that works, it'll do something. This is already set in place. God is not going to change His mind. On this day, the inhabitants of the earth are going to feel as if their troubles are over. But they're not. Now, verse 2 tells us of another angel. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, "Then I saw another angel rise up from the east who had the seal of the living God." The Greek word for that living is zontos, living God. You know what that's saying there, Brother Frank? That all other gods are dead, and He is the one and only living God. There's no other seal. This is the seal of the living God. No other seal is appropriate. Now, you know, it's funny you say that, Brother Kyle, because I know of another seal. We'll get to that here in a second. There's always an imitation, isn't there? Always a generic. This angel had completely different job, had a completely different job than the four angels we just saw. We saw in verse 1 that the four angels had the job of restraining the wind and causing a lull. But we see in verse 2 that those four angels were also poised to unleash destruction until, they were poised, Brother Gary, they were getting ready to unleash their destruction until this angel stopped them from their path. Well, verse 2 also tells us that this single angel from the east was carrying a seal. Let's see. Now, we're not talking about a lion. You know, one of those little... No, we're not talking about that. Sea lion. We're not talking about sea... I know that's what you were thinking, wasn't it, Griffin? No. Warren Wiersbe says in Scripture, a seal has a twofold meaning. A seal indicates ownership and protection. Now, somebody should have gotten excited, because this angel is coming to the earth. He's told these four angels that are getting ready to unleash in a way that you've never seen before. He halts them, and he's holding a seal in his hand. A seal is for ownership and protection. Today, God's people are sealed by what? The Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 tell us how we're sealed. The seal that the angel is holding will protect the chosen Jews from the judgment that will hurt the earth and the sea and will occur when the first angel blows their trumpet. Well, which angel? The ones who are standing at the four corners of the earth. It's not going to be pleasant. Well, what is this seal? What is this seal you're talking about? Paige Patterson says, most scholars have assumed that the seal will be the ancient Hebrew letter Tau, T-A-U, Tau, which would appear very similar to an X placed where? On the forehead. The next natural thing you might ask yourself is, will this seal be a visible mark? I mean, will it, you know, will be like a tattoo? What is this seal? What is this mark? Scholars agree that to the naked eye, that this mark physically cannot be seen from the spirit, but with the spiritual eye, it can be clearly seen. Understand that the seal is for protection.
So the ones unleashing the coming judgment will know who to terrorize and who not to. Now, those of you who've read ahead, you know what's coming. And God's people are going to be protected. It has been speculated by some end-of-time scholars that believe that the believers will be able to identify each other, and this could be the means by which they identify. Now, we don't. All we know is that 144,000 are going to be sealed, right? Now, what's their job? Their job's going to be spreading the gospel. Well, where are they going to be? All over. I mean, you think the disbursement was crazy when the gospel took place and the Jews would come to Jerusalem, they'd hear the gospel and they'd go back to where they came from, and when they went with them, guess what they took with them? The gospel. These 144,000 that are spread all over the earth, hey, listen, how do you think they got where they are? God put them there. There's Jews in every nation. Just waiting. Sleeper cells. Who will have this mark or this seal? Who is it that gets the privilege? Now, we need to understand that this seal is for God's chosen. Y'all see that, right? For God's chosen. For His purpose. This is not the mark of the beast, which is still yet to come. This is for those on earth who pledge allegiance. The mark of the beast is for those who pledge allegiance to the Antichrist. This mark and this seal is of God. Those who will receive the mark are 144,000 seen in verse 4 and 8. Now listen, we're getting ready to tiptoe through some kind of treacherous water here. These are the Jews who are alive and who have survived the breaking of the first six seals on the scroll that Jesus took out of the hand of God. Okay? Now, it could be. Miss Desi, now look at me. I want you to hear me say this. And you testify with me. Because I'm not saying this. I'm saying it could be. Scripture is not, you know, it's not rounded enough. It very well could be that these might be the last of the remaining Jews after all the seals that have been broken. So far, I mean, I'm not saying it is. Don't hold me to that. You're helping me, right, Miss Desi? But it could be. Remember, in Revelation 6, the first of Revelation 6, a quarter of the earth was destroyed, the inhabitants. Then the animals started killing people. People started killing people. I mean, this has been an unbelievable day. It could be. I'm not saying it is. I just want to plant that seed of thought. 144,000 could be that they're the remaining. Church, God, what we need to see here is we need to remember the parable of the hidden treasure in Matthew chapter 13, 44. Y'all remember the parable of the hidden treasure? Well, who is the hidden treasure? The Jews. A man went out into a field, Ricky, and he found a treasure. And he hid the treasure, and he went and bought the whole field. Well, when's he going to go back and dig up that treasure? I don't know. But that's his field, and that's his treasure. And at his appointed time, he's going to go dig that treasure back up. Well, Brother Kyle, I don't get it. What are you trying to say? Church, God is not done with the Jews. They are His chosen people, His hidden treasure, and His people are yet to fulfill a great purpose on this earth and in their land. I don't know where you fall in this whole Middle East thing, but if you want to stand with Scripture, you better be standing with Israel. You better be standing with the Jews. Well, yeah, the Jews, but the Jews are all, you know, they're business owners, and they've got long noses, and they crucified Jesus, and they're greedy. Listen, you had better be standing with the Jewish nation. I don't like a lot of everything that's going on in the Middle East. But you know, I need to be standing with God. And God's standing with His chosen people. Josh McDowell paints a picture in his book of left behind. That there's going to be nations trying to rise up against Israel, which we know is coming. And he paints a picture of how God just totally destroys them. Church, I want to be staying with Israel. And I told y'all not too long ago, I tried to enter the military, Jim. My leg kept me out, my knee. There might come a point in time where we're called to stand with Israel. Church, I'm not much. I'm just an old guy. But if Israel needs my help, I'm on a plane. Well, brother, they're God's protected people. You think you're going to be safer here in America than standing with God's chosen people? I'll stand with God's chosen people. Now, let me find my place. Now, you do know that there are those alive today that claim that they are one of the 144,000. Today. Y'all know that, right? Now, I'm getting ready to load your wagon. I'm getting ready to help you with something here, okay? So y'all pay attention. I'm about done. There are those in our community who believe that, and they're knocking on your door Saturday and Sunday, that they believe they are part of the 144,000. The chosen Jehovah's Witnesses make this claim that they have been so bold in recent years to increase that number that Scripture is very clear because the number exceeded 144,000. Their membership exceeded 144,000, so they increased the number that Scripture says. That's called progressive revelation, and it's heresy. If one of them ever tell you that they are a part of the 144,000, please ask them to show you their seal. Please. Listen to me. Be careful as you go up here to this Walmart. There's a nut job. All he does is ride, do circles around Walmart during the day. Tracy, you seen him? And he does this right here. He sits in, and when it's cool outside, he just sits in his car. It's a white car, and he says, "Psst, hey," like a drug dealer or something. "Psst, sir, can I help you?" And he hands you a watchtower. I look at him and say, "Brother, I'm a Christian. I don't believe in progressive revelation. As a matter of fact, this is heresy. You need my Jesus." Church, listen, what are you doing when you do that? You're sounding the alarm. These people are, listen, honestly, they're doing what we ought to be doing. Is it amazing to you, Brother Frank, that these people years ago, and I'm not sure, I studied cults and all that when I was in college, but I don't know exactly when Jehovah's Witness started, but they started with like five people at one point, and then they grew to over 144,000. Listen, and then they exceeded that number. Why? How do they grow when it's so false? Listen, because they knocked on doors and they told people. People want to hear something. And if somebody is adamant enough and persistent enough and says, this is the truth, look, this is the real Jesus, this is the real Jesus, this is the real Jesus, this is the real Jesus. Sooner or later, Caleb's going to say, "Well, I wonder if that's really the real Jesus or not." That's what they're doing. Church, listen, we need to be out there knocking on doors telling people the truth. That's why I just loaded your wagon. When you hear somebody, and I don't do it in an antagonistic way, but do it in a scholarly, scriptural way. When, because they're out there, they saturate this area. When they come, they've parked in our church parking lot and scoured this neighborhood. I wait till they leave, and I put tracks on their car. I print out, you know, 8 or 10 pages of why you should, you know, stay away from Jehovah's Witness, and I put it on their windshield. Why do that? We need to sound the alarm. You need to be able to have a conversation with them. Ask them, "Are you one of the 444,000? Can I see your seal? Hey, my last pastor, he went and toured the tabernacle in North Dakota, the Mormon tabernacle. Tour group was with him. Where's Teresa? Is Teresa here tonight? She just came from there. I wish I'd have loaded her wagon before she went. It's beautiful. I saw the pictures. Dr. Jerry White. Did you ever meet Jerry White, Tony? He was the pastor at Riverside Baptist Church. He was South Carolina Baptist Convention. He was really involved in convention. He said that he pulled up next to the tour guide. He said, "Hey, psst, I'm a pastor. Can I see them gold plates?" He said, "Do what?" He said, "Yeah, I heard y'all got them up here in this tabernacle. I want to see them gold plates of Joseph Smith's. Can I see them?" He said, "No." He said, they're in a sealed room." He said, "Are they here?" Listen, trying to banner. Open a door. Show the people that it's a cult that they're following. Church, we need to sound the alarm. Amen? Now, God is very specific as to who those will receive the seal. And He gives very specific. It's kind of monotonous when I was going reading through that list, wasn't it? Bada-bada 12,000, bada-bada 12,000. God is very specific, very specific. There have been four questions, many more, but four main questions that have evolved from this list throughout history. Now, I'm just going to touch and go. If y'all want more information, I'll just try and, you know, if you can care less, we'll just, you know, you don't have to ask. First question is this. Why is the tribe of Dan not included and Levi included in this list? As Dan is an original member of the 12 tribes and the tribe of Levi was never numbered. Why is that? The tribe of Levi, they received from the other tribe. Scholars speculate that because of their incessant rebellion towards God, that the tribe of Dan was excluded at this time but would be included in later lists. No inheritance of the 144,000. Second question. Joseph is listed as one of the tribes to receive the seal, as well as his son Manasseh, but not his son Ephraim. Ephraim and Manasseh are always, you always see those names together. Why is one and not the other? Scholars believe he was excluded for the same reason as Dan. The rebellious nature that the tribe of Manasseh had. The tribe of Ephraim had. Now for the best. This is the best question. And I know at least one person's already got the answer to it. Probably. Who should be listed first on this list? Did y'all notice the list in chapter 7? Who is it that should be listed first? Now, if y'all hadn't been excited, y'all need to get excited about what I'm getting ready to tell you here. The firstborn of the son of Jacob, should be first on that list. What's his name? Reuben. Reuben should be first on that list. Well, why is the tribe of Judah listed first? This is the tribe that Jesus is descended from. He is the first. No one will ever take from the time the church is raptured. Listen, Jesus has taken a back seat to society in this world for as long as He stepped foot on this earth. But once the tribulation starts, once the rapture of the church takes place and then tribulation starts, listen, Jesus is no longer going to take the back seat. He is first on the list. He takes first place. We've tried so hard, even in our lives. It's like the message this morning. Jesus is in the back burner. He's the last thought. He's the last resort. He's the ninth man in the hitting order. He's the linebacker who sits on the bench and he comes in if somebody's hurt. We go to Jesus in the last resort. No longer. Jesus is first. Does that amaze you? It does me. Miss Desi, did you see that before? Of course you did. How in the world This is the fourth question. How in the world can these people be called? They're all over the world. How in the world can they be called to be sealed? When all historical data has been destroyed for anyone to claim that they are from this tribe or from this tribe. As a matter of fact, listen, there's only one Jew right now who can trace his ancestry back to Adam and Eve on both sides of the family tree, and that's Jesus. One. How in this world can this? How can this be? I mean, we're talking about in foresight. We're not talking about how in the world can God do this. The answer is this: God knows every number, the number of every hair on your head, and He also knows right now who represents each and every one of those tribes and where they are alive today. He knows exactly where they are, and He's placed them where they are. His treasure is hidden, church, but I don't believe it's for much longer. He knows exactly where they are. Brother Kyle, what can we learn from tonight's message? Number one, youth, please pay attention to me. What can we learn? God has a very specific plan that is already set in motion. It's already set in motion. We can't stop it. We absolutely can't stop it. What part are you playing in God's plans? What part are you playing? Listen, we're in the church age, Brother Kyle. The rapture hadn't taken place. I understand that. But we have a part in this plan. What is our part? To sound the alarm. What part are you playing in God's plan? God has a plan for your life. Are you following God's plan or your plan? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, I pray that you would be with your people. I pray that you would allow America to have one more great revival, Lord, before you come. God, and the revival would reverberate in such a way that the nation of Israel would see something taking place in America. And some of your people, your chosen people, would finally accept you as their Messiah. They'd see such a change in us, God, that they'd want to change themselves. But God, I pray for your people. I pray that you would protect them. Lord, I pray that you would help us to show love to them. Lord, help us to be your hands and your feet, to do what we know to do here in our country, in our city, our state, our nation. God, help us to stand up for you and sound the alarm. Lord, we thought we'd seen the worst behind us, but the worst is yet to come. Help us to be prepared with open minds to see what's coming, that we might be able to spread the word, that others might be prepared as well. In Jesus' name, everybody pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if you need to come, the altar is open.